We are in the thick of the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament, and we have so much to talk about. Jam and I are back. I'm in Portsmouth. Jam went home. He ran away from me, but it's okay. We're still going to talk about the tournament and everything that we've seen over the past couple of days and talk a little bit about today, the games that are slated to be played today. Jam, how are we feeling?
Feeling great. Had a wonderful time in Portsmouth. Looking forward to streaming and watching the games today, man. Got a great five each we're going to go with that we'll talk about from the standout. So I'm super excited to continue to show some love to some great prospects that were at the PIT.
Yep, and as Jam alluded to, we're going to be talking about our top five prospects over day two and day three. And we'll be back to talk about this right after we party.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
We are live here on the No Ceilings NBA Draft Show, here on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel. We're also on your podcast player of choice. I'm Stephen Gillespie, joined by my co-host Jam Hines. Jam, Portsmouth is still rolling. We did not pod yesterday, so please forgive us, everybody who was expecting maybe a day two Portsmouth pod. We had some very fun stuff lined up that we had to do, and we had to sacrifice something, so we figured we would pod today. We're going to have more content based off of, you know, some of the stuff that we did the day before after the events of day two. So stay tuned over at NoCeilingsNBA.com for that. But Jam, you just got done with dealing with an arduous 3-hour drive and you saw some things on the road, but now you're here still with me to continue potting, man. How's everything going on your end?
Everything's going pretty good. Not a lot of sleep last night. Maybe trying to get prepped for the drive home. But, man, happy to be home safely. And just another Portsmouth down for me. But you still got some more games to watch, though.
Yeah, and as Rucker texted us yesterday, he was like, how are you guys still awake right now? Because, you know, over the past 3 days, dude, you and I, just to, you know, we like to let our fans behind the scenes here. We've been staying up till about 1 a.m. just banging out these articles. Once we get home, you know, we will finish the games, which end somewhere depending on how the referees, you know, officiate the game and how the coaches call timeouts. We'll be in the gym until anywhere from like 10 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. We'll try to find somewhere that's open that isn't always fried food because, you know, it just weighs us down. And then we'll come home, turn on some TV, and then we'll try to finish an article real quick. That way it's available for all of you out there. So, Jam, you did that yesterday. You drove in like a madman this morning. You're home now. So we still have games, though, that are going to be taking place today. So what I thought would be a fun episode for the folks out there who care about Portsmouth, which if you're listening, I imagine you care about Portsmouth. Jam and I, we're going to share our top five prospects from days two and day three. We did talk briefly about our top five, but we don't have the same name, so this is going to be an opportunity for Jam and I to give love to multiple prospects. But some of these guys, Jam, were just standouts, and I'm sure that, you know, it's evident as to why some of these guys made both of our lists.
Yeah, absolutely. As we expected, it was going to be a loaded field, and I think for the most part, like, that has rang true, you know, so there's going to be a lot of standouts, and I think we'll see what the total number end up being, but I think there will be a couple of guys drafted at least, but I think several guys moving up to the G League Elite Camp and the NBA Combine.
Yeah, some of these guys are just easy NBA prospects, and seeing them in person kind of confirming some of the things that we saw throughout the season. You know, some of the, at least for me, Jam, I'm sure it might be the same for you, but to the projection and the trajectory of some of these guys and their translation into the NBA while we're also watching the playoffs happening at the same time. Like, some of these guys and their projection, it just became so much more clear, at least for me, for being at Portsmouth this year. Jam, any shared sentiments there?
Yeah, for sure. It's always good to get eyes in person on people that you haven't seen, you know, actually in person, get those measurables in, and actually having the BAM testing stuff accompany for what we've seen with our eyes as well, too. And just get a feel for the athleticism, the movement skills of different prospects. And, you know, this is one of the reasons my favorite pre-draft events is just kind of how free-flowing the environment is, relaxed it is. So we're walking past a lot of prospects, and then I can't lie, I'm looking, I'm saying, all right, well, you know, I'm you know, 6'4", like, what about, yeah, I'm clearly taller than this prospect. He's not 6'4", he's not 6'3", you know, so do a little eyeball measuring there too. But it's a nice environment to be able to do that and really see the prospects up close.
Yeah, and for anybody who wants to know the official BAM measurements and some of the testing metrics that they do here at Portsmouth, those are available over at the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament website, and you'll be able to kind of like see those. And if you want to just, I know a number of us at No Ceilings kind of quote tweeted the measurements that some of the folks over at Portsmouth had too. So if you're on your social media, No Ceilings NBA, go and look for, you know, T Metcalf 11, Tyler Rucker on there, myself, Jam, a lot of us, I think Nathan even quote tweeted some of these as well. So they're on social media too. They're not hard to find if you're looking for them. But all right, Jam, enough banter. Let's get into it, man. Our top five over day two and day three. Who do you want to start with, brother?
Want to start with who I think was the top prospect and is playing like it and was coming into the event that was my top prospect, Kadir Copeland. It was yours too as well. You know, 6'6" he measured, which was no surprise. I think he looked every bit of that on tape, and he measured that as well. 6'11" wingspan, knew it was plus, but to really see it at 6'11", I think that's fantastic for him. So just excelling with the measurables there as well. And then the play in the court too. Constant paint touches, driving kicks, drop offs, the eye manipulation, the ball fakes, the craft. So he's doing an excellent job of orchestrating the offense for his team, getting guys involved. And I think what really stands out for me with him is the constant communication. Like, he is pretty much always talking when he's on the floor. If it's the teammates, it's a lot of encouragement. There were a couple times where Wyatt Fricks dropped some balls that he couldn't hang on to that could have been really easy layups for him. Kadir Copeland really wasn't upset, but just like, you know, come on, you got it. Give him a high five and everything like that, just encouraging him. And it was another time he passed up an open three and was just like, trust yourself. And then I just love that type of stuff from any player. But of course, when it's someone like Kadir Copeland, who is a floor general and going to play that point guard spot. So I'm super excited for what I've seen. And I think he really has a chance to get drafted. And coming into the event, he was in my top 60. And that's certainly not going to change, of course.
I think that a lot of the stuff that you touched on with him, Jam, is just completely spot on. The biggest thing that stood out to me was that Kadir, it wasn't that he had no interest in scoring. You could just tell that the role that he was going to, that he's likely going to play in the NBA, is to help set everybody up and make their lives easier. And I feel like he just completely showed that the entire time in Portsmouth. Like, he did score day two at a good level. I think he only had, 6 points day three. But he was more so interested in making everyone's lives easier, using that wingspan that you referenced, using his ball handling ability, that driving kick game that he looked, it looked so effortless for him in these couple of days. So I think that's an incredibly good shout out from you to be your number one. I also have him as my number one in terms of my most impressive guys over the past couple of days. What did you think about the other stuff? Because I think the passing and the communication were the things that you and I, you know, kind of gravitated to. But anything defensively that you saw, rebounding wise, shooting the ball. I think that he made a pretty decent effort to shoot the ball from deep during the tournament as well. What were kind of your observations of those areas of his game?
Yeah, I'm still a believer in that he'll be able to be enough of a shooter, capable shooter from three. The form, I think, is projectable, and he shot pretty confidently, hit a couple catch and shoot threes, so that's not something I'm worried about, but it was good to see him once again up close, see the form and everything, the confidence. And then, you know, defensively, I thought the effort was there. I don't think anything that was super standout-ish, but we know what he does defensively as a playmaker. And then on the glass as well, too. So I think what we talked about as we headed into PIT, you want to see the prospects play their game. And I think Qadir Copeland absolutely played this game and did everything that you would expect of him.
I agree, man. And I know that we talk about this all the time, and a lot of the people that we talked about while we've been here in Portsmouth Jam, you can't hear or can't emphasize enough how much people are telling us that they're not looking for their star player in Portsmouth. You know, every once in a while you'll get a Jimmy Butler. Yep. You'll get someone who's a Derek White, who is kind of like a borderline All-NBA player, NBA All-Star type player. But for the most part, you're getting connective pieces. And I think that what we saw from Qadir was, I text the group chat whenever we were watching him play yesterday. And I'm just like, I've made up my mind, dude. Like, he's an easy NBA guard. When I get home and have time to like look through my, you know, my spreadsheet of my top prospects and stuff like that, I can't help but feel like I'm going to have Qadir in like that early to mid second round range, just because he's giving you positional size. The feel is apparent with him. He's confident in his jumper. It's not like the strength of his game by any means, but I feel like it's far from being a negative as well. And I think that, you know, with the size and the length that he has, he's going to give you rebounding. He's going to contribute on the glass. And then defensively, I feel like he's just going to be able to like handle his business. Maybe like just an average defender somewhere in that neighborhood. But if you could do all those other things, you're an easy NBA player.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, he's 6'6", 6'11" wingspan, as a reference earlier. He's going to be able to guard multiple positions, and the defensive playmaking is there. Like, I think he's going to be an asset defensively as well.
Yeah. And he's got the personality. I feel like we've kind of hammered that down a lot. We just love watching Qadir like interact with his coaches and his teammates. And I know that the NBA teams have been pretty happy to see him as well in that regard. So, Jam, both you and I, number one player, Qadir Copeland, for obvious reasons. I think this is where you and I kind of veer off a little bit, though, in terms of like the ranking aspect of where we would have the top performers of Portsmouth. I had Jaden Henley of Grand Canyon University. Obviously, mostly for his efforts from day two. We didn't get to see everybody go from day two to day three. Qadir was one of those players that we got to see on both of those days. I'm still kind of hanging on to what I saw from Jaden Henley in day two. Obviously, there's a little bit of carryover from day one, so I'm kind of cheating a little bit here. I've just been so impressed with him. You know, I believe his official measurements were somewhere in like that 6'6 neighborhood, and I think he was 6'6 and a half, if I'm not mistaken. And then his wingspan was 6'6". So nothing plus in that regard, but this is smoothness with his scoring. You know, he showed that he was also willing to shoot the ball. I know on both games that he shot around 33% from deep, but I just feel like the defensive stuff that we saw from him as well, he was competitive on the glass. Again, I know I just said defense first, really stood out to me. You know, just the way that he could guard up, guard down. He was good on his band. He was good away from the ball. So being able to be that size, even though the wingspan isn't really, you know, anything to write home about, being that size, can defend up and down the lineup, can rebound the way that he did, has the potential to be a pretty competent scorer. I trust the touch long term. I like the handle. I trust him that if he's chased off of the three-point line, that he's going to be able to attack the basket and make a good decision, whether that's passing the ball or scoring. I'm not sitting here saying that he's going to be a playmaker, a dynamic guy with the ball in his hands to create for others, but I do trust that connective ability that he has. Again, this was a player, Jam, that we talked about a few times now that I was least prepared for, Jaden Henley, and I'm walking away with him being one of the most surprising and one of the most impactful guys throughout the whole tournament.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Like, think it's pretty safe to say that he should be going to Chicago. Like, he should be on that G League Elite camp and NBA combine trajectory. He's been absolutely impressive, as you mentioned, the wing size. He plays with a lot of confidence getting downhill, just a smooth scorer as well. And I think, as I mentioned in the previous pod about him, he's someone that I'm so excited to dive into his film again. Having seen just a little bit of some of Grand Canyon games as we went throughout the season, maybe like three or four, and kind of put him as a guy to monitor, and didn't get a chance to check back in with him. And I'm excited to do that now. And in the season, 17.7 points per game, 5.7 rebounds, 2.9 assists per game, and 1.9 stocks per game. You know, so he had a really solid year. The shooting, as you mentioned, believe in the touch, I'm right there with you, 75% from the line, and he shot 26.8% from three. You know, I don't think the form is broken or anything like that. No. I think there are a lot of things to work with, and I'm excited to see what it looks like for him as the next steps for him.
And I think that there are a number of guys, Jam, that we kind of have to take a, to quote Bill Simmons, we have to drink a little bit of settle down juice with some of the performances that we're watching in Portsmouth, because sure, you could be impressive in like in an exhibition setting for 2-3 days, but we also have to take into account for all these guys in the Senior Bowl of basketball here at Portsmouth, we have to take into account the entire body of work, not just what we've seen for the past couple of days. Henley is one of these guys, like I said, I was least prepared for coming in. I'm very impressed from what I've seen now. I'm going to have to go back and give him a clean, full sweeping evaluation before I'm going to declare that I'm willing to put him in my second round range, just like I did with Kwadir Copeland, because I've seen Kwadir. I'm familiar with this game. I've seen the multiple areas that he, or the multiple universities that he's played for. Seeing him play up close was just kind of like the last nail in the coffin, so to speak, for him. I don't feel as confident with the full body of work for Henley, just because, again, I have some work to do with him, but he's been very impressive. So that was my second player, Jam. I know that you're going to have a different guy that you want to talk about. So who do you have as your second best player over the past couple of days?
For sure. And honestly, I know we're kind of going order of ranking, but for me, sure, like sure, there are going to be a lot of them really in the same tier. I'll say that. But what Toby Lawal has been incredibly impressive. The ferocious dunks, we know about the explosive athleticism, all that has been there. But him confidently shooting the ball has been, I wouldn't say a surprise, because I'm someone who's believed in his touch, and there's a plenty of people who do that as well. But I would say it was very encouraging, considering he did not have his best year shooting from three this year after showing signs the previous year. And this is someone who is an absolute ready-made playmaker. You know, he's running the floor. He's catching oops out there. As we mentioned before, doing the same thing that he's done throughout his college career, doing the same thing here, you know. So I was very excited to see him continue that trajectory. And he's someone, as we get to, I think really maybe the top three or four guys are all should be getting elite camp invites. And he's going to lead that list as well.
And he was a player that I've obviously seen, familiar with. You know, we've spoken about him a few times as well. For whatever reason, just the size kind of bothered me with the projectability in the NBA.
But really?
Well, it had not in Portsmouth, but coming into Portsmouth.
Oh, okay.
That was something that I was worried about, as well as kind of like, what's the shooting touch going to look like? How projectable is it? Things like that. Those were questions that I had. That's why going back to the pit mock, I didn't really have him as anybody I was, to be honest, like interested in drafting, you know, with the 12 players that I had. But seeing him in person is a completely different story. And I'm a big proponent of physicality being a kind of an understated requirement to transfer up into the NBA. Sure, you have a couple of exceptions, but by and large, like if you translating the NBA, you have to have like a certain level of toughness, a certain level of physicality and athleticism. And seeing Toby in person, that really just kind of like stamped home that I have been way too low in my assessment of him. And knowing the stuff that I have seen, it wasn't that he hasn't been productive to me as to why like I haven't been high on him, but it's just more so, what is the size and shooting touch? Like, how is that going to translate? Again, seeing him in person watching the shooting mechanics, and you and I talked about him. We both believe that there's like a certain level of touch there to where there's reason to believe in the shot. And in day two, like, he connected from deep on multiple shots. He had what, 3 or 4 3-pointers?
I think it was 4 or 6 or something like that. Yeah.
4 of 6. Yeah. And it wasn't a fluke, you know, and even though he missed his couple of attempts that he had in day one, the shot looks clean. The touch is clean. And he balances that with freakish athleticism. Even though he didn't play yesterday in what would be day three of the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament Jam, I think he did. He had an impressive day three, because that's when the BAM testing stuff came out, and he had an insane standing vert that they tested for him. And just kind of like the inside baseball here, we were talking to some of the people who conduct the testing, and it got to the point to where they were just going to see how long how long Toby would entertain them just continuing to raise the metric. And eventually he was just like, you guys know that I can do this. Like, I'm just not going to do it anymore. Like, he essentially was like so athletic that he became bored with testing.
Yeah. I believe it was, like, it was a 40 plus inch vertical leap.
Yep.
I don't remember quite the exact number, but obviously if someone was going to kill those athletic testing measurements. And it was good to see him measure well, just really under 6'9". And also this, the 6'11" wingspan as well. So I think that was certainly positives for him, major positives for him heading into the potential G League camp invite.
Yeah, and he's my third prospect, Jam, so we can talk about him a little bit more here, because I was going to mention him at three. I want to kind of ask for the projectability piece with him, because I think it's clear what the strengths are, right? It's the freakish athleticism, completely developed upper body. You know, I'm a big shoulders, upper body squaredness proponent. He's definitely got that. He's a very tough guy. Not afraid to be, he's very competitive on the floor in the very best way. Like, he'll flex on you when he does something awesome. He'll celebrate with his teammates. He's very locked into the coaching. And, you know, when his teammates are communicating with him on where to be, what the expectations are, he's very engaged and locked in. I'm buying everything that I've seen from him. What do you think about, like, the connectability of him as, like, is there any underlying skill set here that we might be sleeping on a little bit, like, in terms of passing? I know that the help side rotation defense is there. Is there anything else, like a strength of his game that we haven't touched on yet, Jam? Because I know you've been a fan of him for a few years now.
Yeah, for sure. Don't want to kind of repeat the same things we said in other podcasts, sure, about him, but just the defensive playmaking is there with the athleticism. I thought that he was pretty engaged defensively, was exactly what I wanted to see with the rotations. Couple help blocks, even being vertical to force some tough misses as well, too. So I'm just very excited for what he's done. And he's someone I think is ready to contribute from day one.
I agree. And I think that he should definitely get an invite to Chicago. It'll be interesting to see what he looks like moving forward. All right, Jam. So just to recap real quick, you and I both had Quiddier Copeland as our number one prospects over the past couple of days. You had Toby LaWall as your second. I had Jaden Henley, but I had Toby as my third best prospect. What we're going to do, Jam, is we're going to hit this break, and then on the other side, we'll come back and we'll hit you for your number three prospect over the past 2 days of the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament. Just hang tight and we'll be right back. All right, we are back. The Draft Sickos are back here on No Ceilings NBA Draft Show on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel. We're also on your podcast player of choice. Jam and I, we are back after a one-day podcasting hiatus. We are back to recap days 2 and 3 of the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament. And we're talking about the top five prospects that have impressed both of us. This is not a combined list. This is Jam and I both bringing our independent assessments of who has impressed us the most over the past couple of days here at the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament. Jam and I both had Quiddier Copeland at number one. Jam had Toby LaWall as his second prospect who has impressed him over day two and day three. I had him as my third prospect. I had Jaden Henley at second, but obviously Jam and I share some sort of infatuation here for Toby LaWall, the Virginia Tech prospect. Jim, on the other side of the break, I mentioned that we were going to come back to you for your third most, the prospect who you have third, who has impressed you the most at Pitt. Who is that prospect for you, brother?
Yeah, Isaiah Nelson, big man out of USF. Similar to Toby Lawall, it's that play finishing, shot blocking slash defensive playmaking archetype. And I think that he's done a great job of showing that he's been a stock monster, getting the passing lanes, breaking up oop attempts and help rotations, contests at the rim, getting vertical as well, too, explosive dunks. So he's someone that I think should be going to get a two-way, potentially. I'm not sure if he's going to be a draftable guy. Like, I think the shooting is really what separates Toby, and then Toby's kind of a top-tier athlete.
Sure.
But, yeah, and speaking of the shooting, that was kind of one of the things I was hoping to see, if he would be a little bit more aggressive shooting. And he did pass up a few shots, missed one that was really short, and just I didn't really see that confidence in the and him being comfortable with his mechanics. But hopefully that is something that does develop for him, especially as a guy who's going to play mostly the five as an undersized five. And do you have the measurements for him? Do you remember what they were?
I think that he was listed at 6'10", if I'm not mistaken. To be honest, like with my current setup, you know how we've been living over here, Jam. Like I don't have my normal like printouts and stuff like that. So I don't have the listing like available right in front of me, but I know that a lot of the measurements when we were kind of sitting in the stands, Jam, we were looking around and we were like, ah, this guy might be a couple inches shorter than what he was listed at school. I know he measured a little bit heavier comparatively to what he was on the USF school website. So that's good news for him being a little bit more of like a thinner big man. I was encouraged to see that, but I don't have
6'9", 219 was the measurements.
6'9", yeah. And we were
what surprised me
that like 6'8" range.
Yeah. So I'm glad to see him right at 6'9". And then the 7'3" wingspan, I thought it would be plus, but I didn't know it was like that. And I think that's going to be huge for him. So I'm very excited about that.
Me too. Yeah. I think that he had like one of the biggest like difference, like one of the plus wingspans in the entire tournament. So Jam, that was your third prospect being Isaiah Nelson. I wanted to ask you too, because we broke down kind of some of the personality stuff. We're a little bit body language doctors here on the pod as well. We love seeing how players interact and communicate. I loved watching Isaiah Nelson a lot over this tournament because he was a very confident player, very sure of himself. One of my favorite things that he did was that he initiated a break. He stole the ball, pushed the ball up the court. Teammate got it, went in for a layup and scored. He looked at the opposing bench and yelled, "Call a timeout, call a timeout." Like, just like very fired up, very sure of his team. I love that sort of interaction. What did you think of just the way that Isaiah kind of ingratiated himself with some of these other players of like ability, stature, things of that nature?
Yeah, definitely. I was really encouraged to see the passion that he played with that translated on film, on the offensive and defensive end, playing with that energy and just the interaction with teammates, you know. So I think everything that he's done has certainly helped him. And I'm not sure if he's a draftable guy, but someone I would love to have on a two-way.
I agree with you, brother. So I'm going to be up and I'm going to call an audible here, Jam, because I did have a different player at number four for me. And the more that I was just kind of thinking about it as the show has gone along, I think I'd be remiss if I excluded a guy who I'm really fond of. My fourth most impressive player, Jam, I'm going to go with Trevon Spillers, and I think that you probably were expecting this at some level because I've been a big proponent of Trevon out of Wake Forest. Understanding that he played with Juke Harris, Colvin up at Wake Forest, a little bit of the third banana, so to speak, on his team, and some of the stuff that I've seen on the film dive in preparation for Portsmouth, really impressed with the defensive work. And I've mentioned this several times. I know that there are several defensive first prospects who we're excited about being in this draft class who might be second round picks, but there are clear offensive concerns with their projectability. I think that Trevon Spillers is a very capable defender, like within the same vein of those sort of prospects. But I think the shooting projection with him is so much cleaner. And I think that makes him kind of a more slept on prospect to a certain extent. You know, shot about, what, 35, 36% on the season at Wake Forest. Came in second game. I believe he was 3 of 7 in that second game. One of the leading scorers on his team while still playing impactful, really good defense. There's still some questions for me as to, like, all right, how connective is he going to be as a passer? Nothing really stood out for me in a negative manner with him when he had the ball in his hands, Jam. Like, he's not looking to do something that he can't do, but I don't think that he did anything detrimental as kind of like a connective piece. And I love the defensive versatility that he brings. You know, you kind of classify him as an undersized big man. I look at him more as a four. So there's a little bit of variance between the way that people can look at him. But I think the defensive versatility and his rotations, his instincts on that end, like, really showed through over the past few days. And again, seeing the shooting in person, you and I both have talked about the shooting form and the touch. I think that there's something there. And at his size, he had a very good wingspan too. I think that height-wise, he was listed at 6'6 3/4", so almost 6'7". But his wingspan, I think, was listed at like 7'2". So that condor wingspan that he has gives him the ability to defend the way that he does. And I'm kind of buying the shooting touch moving forward.
Yeah, with Spillers, I guess the first thing I want to kind of say about him, I do think he is a big, and I think one of these days we're going to have a good conversation about just positions and how we see them and define them, because yes, I believe he's going to play the four, but he's still a big man. I don't really see him with the wing skills to be able to play the perimeter on the offensive end. Sure. But yeah, the measurements didn't really help him as far as height. But as you mentioned, the wingspan, that is absolutely excellent, especially at 6'6". And I'm hoping that he didn't get a chance to do it in the first two games, but I'm hoping that he can in the last game. But the DHO game with him is really fun. That really popped with the film, especially early with him. So I think for him to really have that chance, it's going to be him playing this game as a play finisher, of course, and a defensive playmaker, but he's really going to have to be a reliable shooting threat, and hopefully some of the ball skills come around, because I think it's going to be tough for him to really survive as a 6'6", well, I guess I'll give him 6'7", undersized big man, but we'll see. But there's still a lot to like about him.
All right, so that was my number four prospect, Jam. Who do you have as your fourth best prospect?
Of mine, I'm going with Seth Trimble out of UNC. That was a little bit of a slow start in the first game. They kind of picked it up day two and day three, but just an incredible athlete, an elite athlete. I believe he was at 41 or something like that with the vertical inch lead.
Yeah, just under 42 standing. Yep.
Yeah, he had the top vertical testing there, and that obviously translates, man, because – he has some monster slams, including one where he does what he does, man. The defensive playmaking, the instincts that he has, got in the passing lane and threw it down after that. And I think what's more impressive for me, we know what he does as an athlete, but defensively, is some of the offensive stuff, because there are shooting questions. And I'm just kind of curious if the shooting doesn't exactly – get to where we want it to be, where he's a reliable shooter. Is there still some things that he can do off the ball or on the ball? And I think there are some things. He's a really good cutter. And in one of the games, he had a nice pick and roll move where he read the defense, kind of just navigated away and made a nice little drop off pass. So want to see more things with him with ball skills, although obviously he's not going to have that primary type of role, but can he still contribute offensively if the jumper is not going? And because what he does defensively is absolutely incredible.
It truly is, man. I look at the defense with him, obviously, is like the biggest thing. You know, he's the epitome of, he's got that dog in him. He's the meme of like the X-ray with the chest, and you can see Rottweilers and Pitbulls like within his rib cage. you know, Trimble has that that in his game. And we talked about it a little bit in preparation for Pitt when we were talking about Trimble, where, yes, the shooting numbers, like, holistically aren't that great, but there was some stuff that he could do when guarded on catch and shoots. And those guarded, whenever you got a player who's a better shooter when they're guarded as opposed to open, like, that makes me a little bit iffy. But he showed some tough shot-making ability, so there's touch indicators in that regard. And then you mentioned, like, the playmaking. Even though, like, his scoring out of the pick and roll wasn't, like, super impressive, when you include the passing ability within the pick and roll per Friends Over at Synergy, his pick and roll operation, like, skyrockets to an incredible rate. So we have seen a little bit of that. Jam, you and I have mentioned that throughout Pitt, you know, it sometimes in these exhibitions, it's really hard to, like, see, to pay attention to everyone on the floor at the same time when you're trying to take notes on literally everybody. But there were several possessions where Trimble, away from the ball, you can see him kind of lurking, shutting doors before they're even open. I guess, like, deadbolting the door before anyone could open the door, right? He took so much away, kind of like a, like, star cornerback, you know, just locking up, like, half of the court on the defensive end. And that's not anything that you're going to get analytically on a box score here at Portsmouth, but you could just see, like, the defensive ability that he had was very palpable throughout the past couple of days.
Yeah, it definitely was. And the game last night, my favorite defensive possession came from him in the first quarter, just full court pressure, made the ball handler work all the way up the court. That forced the offensive team to get into their stuff late in the shot clock. And then he actually ended up being the one that gets the on ball stop to end the possession. So I just love what he can do defensively. He did measure 6'3". That was a little bit of a surprise. I thought he may be shorter, but I was excited for that, happy for that, of course. And then I think what really, really kind of takes the cake for him is that 6'8" wingspan. So I think that'll be huge, that combining that wingspan, the length, and that explosive athleticism, the lateral quickness, and, of course, that dog in him. I think that he is someone that can guard multiple positions, ones and twos, and I think some threes.
And I think, too, like, to couple with the 6'8" wingspan that you just listed off, him being a true, like, 200 pounds with that athleticism, I think helps him out a lot, too. Because that, in my opinion, Jam, that means that it gives him the requisite amount of strength to be able to defend multiple positions, like, at a real level, not just, like, every once in a while in college in the ACC, but translating up, being 200 pounds with the explosiveness that he has, the length that he has, that's going to give him that ability. You have to have that sort of a thing if you're going to be that size to defend at least, like, some wings in the NBA at the next level as well. So true defensive versatility for our guy there in Seth Trimble. He was very much so in contention for being on my top five list, along with another guy. We'll shout out some quick honorable mentions at the end without doing full breakdowns or whatever. But, Jam, that takes us to our fifth prospect. We might be sharing here, if memory serves me correctly, so that'll be okay. But Kwesi Reeves Jr. out of Georgia Tech, was he your fifth guy?
Yep.
Okay, so Kwesi Reeves Jr., seeing him in person, just to get the concerning stuff out of the way, he's real thin, Jam. Like, he's real thin. But that doesn't stop him from being an impactful guy. That's what I loved about him, is that he's so tough. And from all reports that we got, Jam, he put on some weight from the end of the college basketball season coming into Portsmouth. So if you are concerned about his weight, and there's some other stuff on there too, like, I don't feel like I'm at liberty to, like, necessarily share here on the show, just from the intel that we've gathered from him. But there's nothing negative, like, nothing, like, overly concerning. But there's reasons for why things happen the way that they happen. But he's already putting on a substantial amount of weight. And I feel like the strength component, that toughness component, like, really showed true throughout this tournament, Jam. But he is a really good length, really good size.
Yeah, 6'10.5" wingspan.
That's exactly what you want to see from a wing player, right? Very sharp kid too, Jam, just like some inside baseball stuff that I do feel comfortable sharing here with the fans. And, like, this is public information too, but learning that he has written and published two books as a college basketball player, Jam, like, we talked about like the personality aspect of players and stuff like that. NBA teams are going to be looking for players who they can trust to invest, you know, millions of dollars in. I feel like Kawhi definitely fits that bill.
Yeah, for sure. And it reminds me a little bit of a clip that was circulating the past couple of days, and it was with Jose Alvarado talking about his ability to eventually stick with New Orleans and everything. And he said he was sent down to the G League. He was only there for, what, 10, 15 hours, forgot the exact time. But they called him back up, and he wasn't even playing. But what the reason they brought him back up was for the type of person that he, you know, is, and the energy that he brought, the character. And it was just like, you weren't even playing, but what you bring to practice, what you bring to the locker room, what you bring out to the teammates. And he was just like, I'm just being authentically me. And I think that's important for every single prospect to just be authentically themselves. And I think that is going to be proved beneficial for Kawhi, of course, and so many other prospects as well. And with him, you know, the length, this positional size, the athleticism is there. He threw down multiple dunks. He showed he was a solid cutter, and he shot the ball well too. And I think if you have someone at his position with his positional size, capable shot maker, and it's the type of person that he's showing to be, I think there's going to be a lot of teams are going to be willing to invest in that. And you see a 3-and-D role and someone that can, if you know, if they're not on your G League roster, excuse me, on the end of the bench, you can put them in the G League, have them come in and out, and still be a positive factor for your team.
Yeah, and I think, too, there's a – with when you look at him, Jam, like, you might be like, ah, like, is he explosive? Like, is he – is like, how fluid is he? He's very springy, very fluid, moves well, incredibly confident. What I loved about day two was watching Kawhi just attack – and be an aggressive scorer, again, at his size. That's exactly what you want to see. I felt like the confidence with Kawhi was incredibly palpable. And, Jam, like, I'm going to go back to, like, the intel stuff here for a second, too. Like, you and I, when we were walking around talking to folks, how many, like, we've heard about how great of an interview that he was, like, and teams were incredibly blown away just from the high character that he shows, the intelligence that he showed, and the fact that he's averaging like 18 points per game so far in Portsmouth, on top of the long-standing three-point percentage that he's posted over Georgia Tech over the past couple of seasons, the ability to handle the ball to the degree that he can at his size, the defensive flashes that he shows as he continues to get stronger, man. Like, I really feel like NBA teams are going to buy in on the player and the person of Kawhi.
For sure. I think he's someone that teams are going to look to have on a priority two-way deal. So I think good things are ahead for him.
All right. So, Jam, let's hit a quick break. And on the other side, we'll finish with a couple of honorable mentions and hit the outro. So hang tight for some players who didn't make the list, but you could probably make an argument for. We'll talk about them here on the other side of the break. All right, we are back here on the No Ceilings NBA Draft Show, here on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel. We're also on your podcast player of choice. Jam and I reporting our observations, our findings, some of the things that we just have loved to get to see and hear while we've been at the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament for this season. We went over our top five prospects. We're going to talk about our honorable mentions. But Jam, please entertain the folks if they just did a timestamp for whatever reason, you sickos out there. You don't want to hear the consensus top five at the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament. You want to hear about the guys who were cut off. We're going to hear the top five just real quick, Jam. Who made your top five most impressive over day two and day three?
Yeah, my collection of guys were Kadir Copeland, Isaiah Nelson, Toby LaWall, Seth Trimble, and we both share Kawhi Reeves.
Yeah, my top five, Kadir Copeland at the top, just like Jam. I had Jaden Henley at my number two. I snubbed Toby LaWall, sent him all the way down to three. I had Trevon Spillers at four. And then, just like Jam said, Kawhi Reeves Jr. out of Georgia Tech as our fifth-ranked prospect. Jam, any prospects that stood out to you that could have made it, that realistically could make a top five list, but, you know, we just kind of left off because at some point you got to draw a line somewhere?
Yeah, I'll just shout out a quick few. Rafael Castro, GW, play finisher, defensive playmaker, shot blockers. He's someone that actually measured 6'11", which was surprising to me. And I was, you know, it was a pleasant surprise, of course. So I think that bodes well for him. Another guy was Peter Suter. He shot the ball pretty well. His shooting historically has kind of been up and down, you know, but he shot the ball confidently, played with a ton of confidence. Teammates seems to really enjoy playing with him. And there's a shoot, pass, dribble skill set there with a pretty good frame. You know, he's, I think it was 6'4", 6'5", but broad shoulders as well. Then kind of the last guy that I want to give a shout out to is Wyatt Fricks. Big man, shot the ball pretty well so far, at least confidently. I think one of the games, the most recent games, kind of struggled a bit. It was like 3 for 8 or somewhere around there. But yeah, he's a projectable shooter, a defensive playmaker, really gave a lot of effort blocking shots and contesting shots at the rim. And I think he may actually lead the event in block jumpers. I think he's blocked maybe 3 shots from the perimeter. So I think there's some good stuff with him.
Absolutely. And then Albert Gim, No Ceiling Zone, Garbage Time Gim says, Xavien Lee hit us with 4 question marks after the jam. I think Albert is concerned about Xavien Lee not being talked about. I'll throw him in as an honorable mention. And I think that he's a good name to bring up as well, Albert, you know, he might be one of the more well-known playing for Florida, transferring in from Providence. I think he did subtly like have himself a really strong game yesterday, you know, shot the ball pretty well, attacked the basket, you know, the playmaking is there. I think, you know, when we're talking about frames, like physical frames and like, how they translate in like a live setting as opposed to watching them on film. I was really impressed to see Xavien Lee, like his, the definition of his body, the fact that he was able to go in and play kind of fearless around the basket. So I'll include
him. Well, speaking of that, like the transition dunk that he had and took like a nasty spill, man, but he got back up and kept playing. So shout out him for the toughness that he displayed there.
Incredibly hardworking, tough player. So I'll include him. Trey Carroll, a guy who had a really strong day one. I think subtly had a good day two jam, and I would include him. He might have had the most surprising dunk. He might have had the most surprising dunk of day. Was it day two or was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday, Jam. It was day three where teammate was driving. Throws the lob. I think it might have been Melvin Council Jr. that threw the lob because he had himself a heck of a day. Trey Carroll goes up, catches it, and kind of like RKO Randy Orton from out of nowhere, like side cocks it in. So good play from him. I'm also going to shout out Melvin Council Jr., who had himself an incredible day three. I think he had a steady tournament so far, to be completely honest with you, Jam. Like, good day one. Nothing overly like crazy, but you know, the connective nature, speaking of frames that stand out in person, my goodness, you know, and him being listed just under 6'4" with what was it, a 6'11" wingspan, something like that, Jam, or was it 6'9"? I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was an incredibly plus wingspan.
Pretty much 6'10", was 6'9.5".
Yep, 6'9.5". So 6'9.5-foot wingspan, just under 6'4". You see, like, that really stands out in seeing him in person. Squared, round shoulders, broad shoulders, very strong frame. His lower body will need to fill out a little bit more, but had himself a fantastic day three, showing, you know, his ability to kind of snake his way into the paint, pass people open. Albert says, shout out to Stephen for potting on his feet the whole time. Jim, you can let people know, but I am sitting in a very high stool. Or whatever, like the stools here are insane, Jam. I think they were made for you.
Yeah, they were very comfortable for me, I will say that, but it does look like you're certainly standing.
I'm trying to do my best Pat McAfee here, standing up and talking the whole time. I'm 100% sitting down. I'm just in a very high stool. But yeah, shout out to Melvin Council Jr. And then the last guy that I'll do a shared shout out with you, Jam, Wyatt Fricks, who admittedly I just haven't been like a big Fricks guy. I didn't know how he was going to translate playing with some of the guys here in the tournament, how tall he was going to be, how the athleticism was going to look compared to guys who are like skilled and ability or even greater. I know that he's got stuff in his game that he needs to work on. He's not a great passer. Some of the hand catching stuff with him in dynamic settings were a little bit inconsistent. But if you can be 6'9", you can jump out of the gym the way that he can. You can shoot threes the way that he did and then block shots at the rate that he did. Jam, not only did he potentially lead this tournament so far in those perimeter blocks, there were three straight possessions yesterday, Jam, where he just like blocked a shot. And when I say three straight possessions, I don't mean one of those like he blocked the shot, the guy came down with the ball after he blocked and he blocked him again. It was like one possession, block. His team goes down, plays offense, goes back on defense. Guy is trying to shoot on him again, block. His team goes down, plays offense, they come back on defense, blocks another shot. It was three straight possessions where he blocked shots. Was fantastic. So if you can be 6'9", you can jump out of the gym, you can shoot threes, and you can block shots to that degree, Jam. I just think that there's a place for you in the NBA at some level, you know, probably in the G League. And then shout out to everybody else in the chat. I know that we shouted out Albert, but, you know, the usual suspects are in here. Jam, we'll ask this one quick question before we transfer. Antoine Willis, says, do y'all think always appreciate Antoine. Shout out to our guy. He said, do y'all think Melvin Council Jr. will get a summer league roster in July?
For sure.
Absolutely. Why do you say so confidently, Jam?
Oh, he's definitely going to be on a two-way, and I think he's someone, as we mentioned, just the connectivity that he plays with. He can set the table, the defensive playmaking, the length, all the good stuff. So he's someone that's certainly worth that.
Yeah, and then TJ Strickland in the chat saying, what's up, y'all? Our chat's live as normal, but yeah, I agree with you for the summer league invite. I just think that he's got the height, the length, the feel. He can snake his way. There was a little bit of like Dennis Schroeder to his game yesterday, Jam. And I don't think that that's too crazy of a comparison, especially if he catches on in the NBA. But there's like that ability to snake his way into the paint, finish around the basket, shoot the ball a little bit, pass the ball, rebound, play hellacious defense. I just think that is a role for him, especially in the G League. Like almost easily in the G League, in my opinion, Jam. But, Jam, that's going to do it for us, brother.
Can I give one just really quick shout out? Just to Boopy Miller. I thought he played his game
good call
throughout, just facilitating, setting the table. And I thought he was a winner with them, at least on the height-wise. He measured at 6'5". I thought he was for sure going to be under 6 feet. So I think that is a win for him as someone that could potentially be a third guard, change of pace, set the table as well. And he sealed the game last night. It was the ball was in his hands the whole time. Just kind of dance, dribbled out the clock and hit a step back three. Just kind of sealed the game for the team.
Yeah, the Justin Timberlake, nothing he can see but you when he dances, right? So created a lot of separation on that little step back. He has like that water bug mobility, Jam, where he's kind of like omnidirectional, like whichever way he wants to go. In just a quick second, he can almost like teleport from one area to the other. Trying not to be too hyperbolic here, but he moves that quick. He's like scary fast. He's so fast that he makes fast people look not fast. So,
yeah.
All right, Jam, let's wrap it up there, man. Anything you want to say before we close out the show here?
I just always appreciate everyone coming to the live chat and everyone that listens and downloads and the support that we can go out and get supports and do these really cool things. So thank you all, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to wrap up here today. Later on today, actually in about an hour, I'm going to go up to the high school here. And I have a full day slated to be in a gym on my butt, Jam. I'm not going to have a butt when I get home just from sitting in these bleachers all day long. But
I understand that, man. I have to keep stretching, get my daily stretching in. I'm going to have to try to catch up on some sleep, man. I feel like I've slept maybe 3 hours each night, especially to drive here. So looking forward to catching up on some Z's.
And the sleep that we have pales in comparison to the lack of sleep that Nick has been getting. And I just want to publicly shout out our editor, Nick Agar Johnson, who waits until we're done writing these articles at 1 a.m. and then he goes and makes them presentable for the public here. So shout out to our editor, Nick Agar Johnson. Albert Gim in the chat has, shout out to Albert. It's been fun hanging out with you. You know, it'd be cool to see you in pit too, Albert, someday, by the way. He says you guys don't have spines anymore. That's why I'm standing, Albert, right now. I'm standing up because I don't have a butt to sit on. I'll slide out of a seat. But well, let's wrap up here. Jam, thanks as always, man. I really had a good time with you, getting to kick it in person with you again this year, like in a podcasting, you know, shared capacity, sharing a house with you. We know each other's like nasty habits now, so we're, this is gonna make us better podcasters in the long run. So, and I'm glad you made it home safe, and I'm excited to finish up this last day here. I'll do another written piece over at No Ceilings. I'll probably share quick thoughts on a pod before I make my arduous like 8.5 hour drive home. But shout out to everybody in the chat. Shout out to everybody who's taking the time to watch and listen. Shout out to everybody over at NoCeilingsNBA.com, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We're closing in on 8,000 subscribers. So listen, I'm from Arkansas and I read the articles over there. So no one has an excuse. I don't care if you don't think that you don't like reading. I don't care if you think that you can't read. All right, just go over to NoCeilingsNBA.com, subscribe. You get a newsletter sent to your email every day. When we're doing events like this, you even get some stuff on the weekend as well. So go over to NoCeilingsNBA.com, subscribe. You will not regret subscribing. You are going to get as much information as your brain can handle on NBA draft prospects. So take the time to go over there. And if we got you on the YouTube side, it's over in this direction, somewhere over here. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. Make sure that you're sharing and talking about us with your friends. So shout out to the fans who came up and said hey to us so far in Portsmouth. All right, Jam, enough of the niceties. We're going to get out of here. For my co-host, Jam Hines, for No Ceilings at Large, for the basketball community at large, and for Portsmouth, Virginia, this has been the Draft Sicko Show here on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel and podcast feed. We will catch up with y'all next time. Much love, y'all.